And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Grab your torch and dip it into the sexy St. Jeff candle. No Buffs is back. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, along with my fellow tri-members today. Two guys who are always hangry. We got Tass Mellis and super producer J.D. What's up, guys?
How's it going?
How you doing?
Good to be
How
here.
You doing?
Are you hangry right now? Because we just did a No Dunks podcast, and then I don't know if you went and grabbed lunch or if you brought lunch, or are you hungry? Hangry?
Maybe I was, because I ordered a tuna sub from Subway, and I went through the process of getting the tuna.
Yeah.
Then the vegetables started going on, and I said, ugh, not enough tuna. Double up that tuna, sir.
Oh, wow.
So maybe I was hangry. I wanted more tuna.
Did you put any barbecue sauce on the tuna?
No.
Oh, that's a callback to a No Dunks podcast.
Too much tuna, though. Yeah. I'm feeling a little,
yeah?
A little big in the gut. Oh, yeah. Who would we be, JD? Would you be Jonathan and I would be Drea, or vice versa if we were both hangry?
I'll take Jonathan, sure.
Yeah,
you have not a smoldering intensity like Drea.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Do I have a No. That was not her evil laugh. What's her evil? She's pulling it out at all times. Oh. Every episode.
Well, she was. She was. Because
yeah.
She is now gone. We are here to recap episode 11 of Survivor 42. This one titled Battle Royale.
Mm.
Why? I mean, especially when it came to the challenge. That's not a battle royale.
I mean, I'll have to take your word for it.
I mean, that's a one-on-one match.
Yeah.
Lindsay called it that.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a woman after my own heart. She doesn't like wrestling.
Maybe
she's
not a wrestling
fan.
Shout out to the live tribe for joining us live right here on YouTube right this very second. If you haven't already, please like the vid. Appreciate that. Subscribe to No Buffs. And if you're a podcast sicko like me, leave us that 5-star rating and review. Wherever you download and listen to No Buffs helps other Survivor fans find the show. So yeah, let's go right to the ending of this episode last night.
All right.
Drea. Yeah,
at least we had an ending here, not unlike Warriors Grizz. Second best game of the night. I watched it live. I watched every minute of Survivor. Did I watch every minute of Warriors Grizzlies?
No.
No.
Oh, so you're saying Survivor Episode 11 was the second best game on Wednesday night. It was Celtics Bucks.
I didn't watch. The Flames
episode
beat the Stars. I'm such a jerk.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, sorry. Go on.
Yeah, Drea's gone. And we had the do or die twist back in our lives. JD, Lindsay obviously was the one participating in that.
Yes.
And all it's done for these last two seasons is have people pulling their hair out trying to figure out the stupid Monty Hall Python or Monty Hall. the Monty Python problem, dilemma, yeah. Whatever. You know, Tass was breaking down the numbers before we went live here. You're still confused.
He was in here watching video after video. He's breaking it down. He had the whiteboard out. He was trying to figure it out. We were discussing it and... I still don't get it. I don't get it, but I do. I understand, like Hi did, that you're supposed to switch.
Right.
You're supposed to swap. The odds are that it's a 66% chance as opposed to a 50% chance. I don't know.
If you just stick with your own.
That's right.
50 versus 66.
Right, right. Yeah. But of course, two seasons running, Deshaun sticks with his gut. He stays. He doesn't switch. And Lindsay does the same thing last night.
Right.
So they're both... end up playing it right because they survive,
right,
and are not dead,
right,
in the game of Survivor. But yeah,
so they win.
And the math says you idiots.
Yeah, yeah. And we won, really, in both cases because it's a stupid twist.
Yeah,
nobody wants to see anyone go out that way. Honestly, I mean,
yeah, I'm with you.
I mentioned this last season. I do like the idea that there is a consequence to being the first to drop out.
Okay,
right, so. A punishment of some sort or, you know, something extra that they have to do. Maybe they have to go to exile or something like that. You know, I like the idea of a consequence of dropping out. But just to go out on a let's make a deal challenge, I mean, it would suck. Can you – yes, the episode last night, I know that they would have edited it completely differently, obviously. But what it did and what you would have robbed us of what ended up being a really good Tribal Council,
yeah.
With lots of twists and lots of, you know, the knowledge is power was played, and then a block, Stephen Adams style, Giannis style.
Nice.
Love it. But yeah, so we would have missed all of that. And then, you know, it would have been a Snoopy or a Charlie Brown sad walk off, you know, the tribe has not spoken. your luck ran out and see you later, Lindsay. And that would have been awful. And it would have been awful if Deshaun had gone out that way last year.
So. Yeah. And to do it at the final seven is a weird spot to put it, if we're being honest. That's usually a huge vote as it is because, you know, you're getting into the home stretch of the game. Also, when you're watching it, I mean, I don't know how you watch it. Are you watching the clock? Are you watching the time?
I did, yeah.
It's like we're at Tribal Council with like 20 minutes to go or 15 minutes at least. And it's like, well, we know she's not just going to pick the wrong box and go home.
Right.
Like, what are they going to do for 10 minutes? Probe's going to talk about the Warriors-Grizzlies game?
A 10-minute cut of next week's episode?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, so you're looking at the clock for sure. But the Survivor contestants are absolutely on the edge of their seat. They are really into the do or die.
Well, the first time, obviously, they're seeing it because they haven't seen the season prior. Yeah, and they were freaking out, yeah.
So maybe earlier on in the season? Because, yes, we missed out on we could have missed out on an incredible tribal, but there's also some dud tribals.
Right.
And maybe it's just too late in the game to be doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was earlier. Yeah, you do lose out on a tribal, but I've enjoyed contemplating all this math talk from 50 to 66%, not big enough.
Right.
And you were bringing it up before the show as we talked. Maybe there are some subliminal tells from Jeff.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe he wants Lindsay to stay on because
he's like, this is a dumb twist.
Yeah, because this would be a crappy ending to an episode.
Yeah,
I suppose. But yeah, I JD said he watched it 5 times to try and see if Jeff was.
Yeah, I mean, when he was saying like, well, you know, you went with your gut. Are you going to stick with your gut? But she also said she had a backup plan.
And the backup plan
plan was the one that he revealed, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, I think that he stood as neutrally as possible. I don't think I think his intention was not to have any tells at all and make it as pure as possible.
Sure.
But as a producer, he is an executive producer of the show. He's like, come on, pick the flame, Lindsay. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be. You have to be. So,
well, hold on, too. I hadn't thought about this until right this second. Half the tribal council is talking about winks and nods and over here and all that. Props was probably doing it. They just cut it all out. Mm. He's looking at the box, nodding his head, winking away. Yeah, that was a big theme of that tribal council.
It's true. They could have been up there for 15, 20 minutes, you know, Hammond and Han. She said she was stalling. That could have lasted an hour for all we know.
Just refuse to pick the box? Oh, what do they imagine? Do then? I don't want to pick.
That's right.
What do they do? Yeah. They about to put you on a clock? You got an hour. You got to make a decision. Do we pick for you?
Yeah. Oh. And it would have been interesting if she didn't go into the challenge at all.
Well, yeah. And this is why I don't think we're going to see it, at least in season 43 and moving forward for the next couple. Yeah. One, because, I don't know, it's sort of, I think a lot of the blowback from Survivor fans is no one wants to see somebody go home that way. That,
right.
That does feel weird. Even if they had a choice to participate in it or not. But what you're saying, Tass, I think is fascinating. I mean, it's only two of them in the end that go in the challenge, Jonathan and Lindsay, and they battle it out. But what happens if nobody, what if they're presented with this dilemma and they all go, none of us want to go in. So obviously then I guess everybody is potentially at a risk for going home. Nobody has the necklace, but nobody's playing the do or die, right?
Correct.
So,
right. No one would play.
People are saying Lindsay, and she even admitted as such, like she really shouldn't have gone in it. Now,
yeah,
she put up one hell of a fight. And she probably garnered some, like, I mean, not sympathy is the right thing, but, like, the optics of it look like, wow, you it tried to
great.
Take him down.
Does she get a little jury love for it?
I think she looks very promising in a lot of the jury's eyes already, and then add that, yeah. But really, I mean, she shouldn't have gone in it.
No.
I mean, she literally could have gone home just because she picked the stupid little box wrong.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
At least if you don't go in it, yeah, you could go home, but you have a chance to play the game Survivor and weasel your way out and get votes on somebody else.
Especially if you're safe, like Lindsay. She had
that's the other
no part. Real prospect of going
Probably
home.
Probably not.
Right, but she also didn't want Jonathan to win immunity. And
if she
didn't go in, then they would literally be handing him immunity
without
a fight at all,
which
is what she didn't want. I mean, that's... Yeah. So she's actually a hero. Because
she
was the only one that stepped up, and you could see Jonathan too, like at that, you know, he's just like
he was looking at her all the time.
He was looking at her, but also before, while he was deciding, he was like looking up. Can I hold the Jesus pose for that long?
Yeah.
You know, like kept looking.
Yeah, that was really
it. Was
weird.
Intense. It was intense.
He was moving a lot too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think he was trying to play mind games with her while he was trying to look at her. Like, hey, you're gonna fall.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. When he was looking at her while they were in minute, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
I think it was just like any sign of weakness on her part would keep him going, right?
Yeah.
Like, because they were both hurting.
Oh,
for sure.
My
like
God.
It's just such a terrible.
That's one of those challenges terrible. I watch and I go. It doesn't look that bad. But I know if I were to try it, I'm off in like three. I bet it's just ridiculously painful.
I don't know, something
about it doesn't super translate to me going, whoa, that looks killer. But it's got to be, of course it's terrible. If like those two like super athletes, we can call them that, both of them.
Totally.
I mean, I can only stay up there 12 minutes. It's just got to be so uncomfortable. I guess the perch part and then just the hands above your head like that.
Yeah, I forgot about the perch. I can't even sleep with my hands above my head. I think you'd be decent at it.
I think so, but I wonder how long I could last. I'm like 5 minutes, 3 minutes, longer.
I think you got to give some respect to Xander from last season. Put some respect on Xander's name. He lasted way longer.
Xander, eh?
He lasted way longer than the 12 minutes. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah,
actually,
I think he lasted forever. I mean, somebody else also had to have lasted.
Just as long.
They changed the actual challenge. It used to be, I don't think, as difficult to stand. Right. This was the Christian Hubicki, 5 hour challenge.
Right.
That he's like a couple seasons ago. But yeah, he was up there forever.
Yeah.
I mean, he was literally having conversations, like full blown conversations with Jeff Probst. But I don't think they were standing on anything all that difficult. It was more just hands above the head.
I will say, JD, you are right about Lindsay being, you know, looked at or having this moniker as a hero, though, because Mike said it in Tribal. He said, she came out and said, you know, I think it was a dumb move. And Mike said, I don't think it was a dumb move at all. I don't think it was a dumb move at all. I think that just shows how much of a competitor you are. that guy, That guy's going to be an actor soon, right?
Like, he missed his calling. He should have been in The Sopranos or something like
yeah.
that.
Oh, totally. Oh, I think he's going to... I don't think he's done.
Oh, you think Mike can act?
Yes. Oh, because we saw a little... I mean, not a lot, but enough to be a New Yorker, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We saw it... When did he act? Somewhere else in this episode. He told a fib.
Well, he's from... Is he from Jersey?
Yeah. Hoboken.
Yeah, that's right.
Hoboken, yeah. Anyway, but... And then Marianne, who kind of creeped me out a little bit when... After Mike said it, and she said, "Yeah, don't you lose that, Lindsay? Don't you lose that?" Yeah. I think she just wanted to, I don't know, be an encourager.
Sure,
so people,
sure, of course.
So people like that about her, but I don't think she really meant it. But
hey,
she screamed
it made for great television. I get why she was doing it. Like you said, JD, she thinks somebody's got to beat this guy, yeah. and I'm the only one that has any chance
right.
of everybody left here. And so, you know, she's competitive. Of course, she even said that. But I really do think, like, stepping back from it, I think she even realized it. I was like, I shouldn't have gone in that.
No.
Because then she just went and played literally a complete, weird, stupid Monty Python game that yeah. she played incorrectly and right. somehow still there. Survives.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. And also, again, I don't think he did, she did, like, Jeff gave... way more information this time. I felt like they
for the
they
whole
realized
do or die
how
setup?
Much it was in at stake
yeah,
yeah going into the challenge. So yeah,
I will say one thing I liked differently than last year's do or die was that they didn't do the challenge last year was like holding I don't know what holding like a marble like with those things like little mm-hmm. blocks of wood.
Yeah, I remember that.
Where I like if you're gonna do the do or die and keep it, make it like a this sort of like, what do you got in you, man? How long do you want to stay up here on this uncomfortable perch? I those are two different challenges to me. Like the one, yeah, it's just hand-eye coordination, and like Deshaun just sucked at it too. I don't even think he was like, definitely wasn't trying to lose it. He just couldn't keep the marble up there. This one is like, everybody can get up there, put your hands above your head and stand on a perch. And then mm-hmm. it's just like, how long can you last in pain?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. If you're going to do it, make it that sort of like, what do you like? What's the word I'm looking for with those
attrition,
type of challenges?
Like
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. I hear what you're saying. I think maybe you get the best of both worlds if you have it a little earlier in the season. This, you know, yeah. aside from the challenge, where people will still continue to go in it because you know they think that they're still a challenge beast. They think that they can compete with Jonathan. I know Omar and Lindsay and everybody else. Basically, everybody else who decided not to go in it didn't know that they could win. You know, that's part
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, that's a huge
so,
part
yeah,
of it.
So, it's true. We may get a situation if they try to repeat this next year where just one person goes in it and has to go stand up there for a second and then, yeah.
yeah,
it comes down.
And then you win. Well, let's – maybe I buried the lead here, but Drea going home after the whole do or die and Lindsay surviving. I saw Dalton Ross wrote, JD, how many times do we have to watch contestant after contestant tell someone about an idol or advantage – only for that to end up sinking their games.
Yeah.
The number one rule of Survivor is to keep that information under wraps. And this is what does Drea in.
Yeah.
She's still there if she just doesn't tell Omer that, hey, I got the knowledge is power, and I'm going to steal the idol from Mike, and we're laughing.
It's right in the name of the advantage. Knowledge is power, and yeah. you're literally giving it away. To Omar. And yeah. shout out to Omar, too, because this is what he's cultivated. I mean, everybody on that tribe is so incredibly comfortable with that guy. It's like he's just a producer on the show or yeah. a PA, you know? It's just like a guy who's in... He's just part of the fabric of the island, you know? And it's just everybody's guard is down when Omar is around. And it's just amazing. And it's, you know, why I think he's going to win. You know... This is a big move for him, you know, he could have gone nuclear on us with, you know, take the idol, you know, from Mike, and then vote Mike out, and then he has an idol. I think he's going to give Mike the idol back, but yeah, I mean, you can't tell people about your knowledge is power. I like this challenge. I know this is polarizing, like. They don't like that, hey, this is a one time in Survivor, you're not allowed to lie. But I like it. And I like that it's been played twice and it's been blocked twice, you know? Mm-hmm. I like that aspect of it. So, yeah.
It's a great television, obviously, both mm-hmm. times it's happened. I know the common idea here is that She doesn't tell Omar she's still alive.
Yeah.
That being said, let's say she steals the idol.
Yep.
Just to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
Yep.
She is still absolutely on the chopping block. I would say she is very much the one who would have gone home.
Right there, last night.
Interesting.
Yeah,
so I think so. So she plays the Knowledge's Power, asks Mike for his idol. Do you have one? He goes, what? Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Okay, got to give it to you. And then you still think the tribe is like...
Well, at that
she
point...
She can play it, of course.
She can play it. She may have had to. I think the only reason for her to tell Omar is because she knows she's on the bottom. Or very close to the bottom. Her name was thrown out.
A threat.
Absolutely the
most. She knows she's seen as a threat.
Every threat is being pegged at right now. Is being pegged as the next person to go. She was on top. She was the number one.
Right.
And I think, you know, like Ricard from last season, they were going to take her out, I think, in this episode. I'm just trying to find a reason for her to tell Omar. And I know it's probably just because she needed to tell the secret to somebody.
Yeah.
But I think also she was on the bottom and maybe she looked at it as she needed somebody to try to be on her side.
Yeah. And that's what Omar's killing this game at.
Oh,
everybody thinks this.
He is the best.
What?
Right,
what? Like, what is it about him? Because it is like, obviously, it's his demeanor. It's his half, maybe his look. He's just a friendly looking guy.
Yeah.
Everybody feels very confident telling him whatever secrets they have. And he has all the power because he has all the knowledge.
Yeah, I think Trey this morning when we were just chatting about it, he described him as non-threatening.
Yeah.
Which is exactly the case. He's
mm-hmm.
friendly. He's just an amiable person. And he just, you know, we talked about this last week. He knows people. He can get, he looks you in the eye and he know, and he's a great empathizer. And
doesn't seem like he talks too much either. You know what
exactly.
I mean? He really picks his spots that way.
Great listener.
Yeah.
And he just picks his moments incredibly well.
The guy is everywhere, but he also
yeah.
doesn't say a thing.
But nowhere, yes.
Yes, yes. That is totally true. Like, he was listening to Drea complain about Jonathan, about the fish scenario, and then all of a sudden, he's listening to Jonathan complain about Drea.
Yeah.
He was listening. He was in both conversations. You could just see him in the background lurking, but he doesn't say anything,
yeah.
and that's why everyone has trusted him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seen in and seen out. So, yeah, he's the leader in the clubhouse for sure.
So did Omar make the right call, though, last night, ultimately telling Mike, tipping Mike off, let me hold your idol.
Yeah.
But then he tells us, I could get rid of Mike.
Right.
So then I got an idol.
So how do you know, how does he know that he can get rid of Mike?
Well, I think the idea is, well, what do you mean? So, Drea tells him he now has, wow, she's got this knowledge is power thing. She could literally just straight up take Mike's idol.
Yeah.
So he could go to Mike, which he does.
Yeah.
We see in the flashback, and that was slick at the tribal council.
Yeah.
They told him, like, you know, probably 30 minutes before they're going to tribal council, you know, hey, come on, let me hold that because she's got this. She told me she's going to get rid of you. But he takes it from Mike,
mm-hmm.
and then just you could just turn around and vote his ass out. Drea's voting. She's got an extra vote. He could vote for her.
Yeah,
but one more.
Yeah, you need more votes.
Not many more.
Yeah, they would have to. Yeah.
Now, a lot of people think that would have been a really dumb move.
I agree with that.
And why? Why do you think keeping the idol and
so
really
you,
backstabbing Mike?
Right. So you keep the idol.
Yeah.
So you've fucked Drea, because you've neutralized her advantage. So she's thinking she's getting the idol. So you've tipped it. She knows that it's you because she announces that you're the only one I told.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So he fucks Drea.
Yeah.
And then
figuratively speaking.
Figuratively, of course. And then he fucks Mike.
Yeah.
He fucks Mike because Mike is like, you took my idol and now you're voting me out. So that's a guaranteed, like,
You're not getting his vote.
You're not getting either.
And you think he might poison the jury.
Yeah, and then Drea is still there. Like,
yeah.
He becomes too much of a target.
Exactly.
Well, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So I think he played it beautifully. I think he had to tell Mike about it. Like, there was really no choice strategy-wise because Mike is a big ally of his. Drea is actually more of a threat.
I think High was on Rob's podcast when he goes out last week,
mm-hmm.
and he talked a lot about, like, High, Omar, and Drea, like, sort of working a lot together.
Right.
So, and, like, we never saw them, Omar and Drea, like, on the show that much. like conspiring and like thinking about their plans moving forward. But I guess they were maybe a lot closer. Maybe that, like, I'm getting at, like, maybe that was a big reason why she told them. They've like had a pretty solid relationship for a couple weeks now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, again, from everyone's perspective, Omar is there working. Everyone's working with Omar. So, yeah.
How did you feel? And we got this question from Nick H. How did you feel about Drea when she's voted out? You know, she's blindsided by the knowledge of power not working, tries to use her extra vote because she knows she's probably going at that point. And a weird exit from tribal council. Mm. Like, fun, you know, just a little strange. But then she also is, like, basically putting everyone on blast, or at least has comments about everyone. A few of it take it pretty bad. You know, I think Mike didn't like what she said because she said, you know, he's going to win.
Right. The kiss of death, he called
it. Kiss of death. Sure. You know, who else did she really? Jonathan, she said, I was never going for you.
Omar was the big one to me.
Yeah, him.
I don't think that's a big deal, to be honest.
Well, but what do you think about anyone that's voted out doing that? Because, like, we rarely see this, and I thought we were even, I don't know, maybe I was under the impression you're not even allowed to do that.
I was, like, definitely under that impression. In fact, I thought that the early seasons, they would say, hey, once you're voted out, or am I thinking of Big Brother? Like, you must leave the house immediately.
Well, Big Brother, right? They do sort of this.
Right.
They say everything before leave the door or exit the house.
You burn the bridge as you're leaving, sort of thing. I'm not a fan, to be honest. I mean, I liked seeing the jovialness of it, I guess. And Jeff is right. Like, you know, it's great to see this competitive of a cast, but also they all seem to get along.
Yeah.
It's the get along gang out there.
Yeah.
You know, when Marianne's toenail fell off, it's just like, oh, we're just all, it's like camping, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think she did much damage at all, to be honest.
You don't?
Like, I don't think hey, Romeo, you've been on the block the whole time. It's like, yeah. No shit. I've voted wrong every single episode, every single vote we've had.
What about calling Omar a snake?
She didn't call him a snake. She said, hey, the only person I told this secret to was Omar. And they're like, yeah, we're all playing with Omar. And he let us know, like, he wasn't playing with you this whole time. So I don't think that damages him, really.
Yeah, but then he goes and tells Mike, you guys were allies. And then he stabs your back. Stabs you in your back.
Who, Omar?
Yeah. He stabbed Dre in the back by telling Mike, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
So why wouldn't you do the same to Mike, is what you're saying, or anyone?
Anyone.
But, yeah. Well, it's Survivor. They know what's coming. Like, it's a good move. I think they all respect the game enough. Like, for everything that Omar's done for this whole time, and all he did, all that happened is that he gets called out for revealing one secret of a woman who they all wanted to get rid of anyway.
Yeah,
so it doesn't, I don't think that's a huge, you know, thing, especially going into, you know, this is at 7, they're going into 6. This is the end game now. Like, everybody knows everyone else is going to get voted off. It's only one person can win, right?
Yeah.
So it's
all the alliances are gone. They're long gone.
Taku 4 is still there, baby.
They're still there.
Bullshit.
Well, yeah, Jonathan
in
the preview
exist.
Says they're ready to eat each other.
Yeah,
but see.
You know, that's a preview.
Yeah, I still don't like it. I don't like the spilling tea.
I don't either. I don't mind it. Okay, I will say, I don't mind it. In last night's episode, I thought it was like, what was really weird is like, the entire season, she is just like the fiercest,
right.
Serious, like, competitor. Mm-hmm. Like, every shot we get of her on this show is her looking and sort of scowling, and like, she is in this. And then it was just the craziest flip. Like, maybe that is her personality a lot of the time. We just never saw it on the show. Like, she was silly and funny with the whole, like, snuffing of the torch.
Yep.
And, like, she was obviously, like, blindsided a little bit, but she's taking it in stride. So it was just such a juxtaposition. Like, whoa. It's like, it feels like a completely different character, because to us, it is. But maybe she's more like that on the island, and we just didn't see a lot of it.
Yeah, I would say that we've seen little hints of it.
Well, in confessionals, I guess.
Yeah, she does does character voices and stuff like that, which is really fun.
But I don't want this spilling of the tea after somebody gets voted out every single episode. This would be brutal if this happens.
Fine. Yeah, I agree with that.
because it would just I don't love that concept.
Yeah, you shouldn't be allowed to blow up people's games as you're leaving. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think she really did much damage.
Okay.
Personally, okay. But
well, what else? She said something. Well, she didn't really say much about Marianne. She just sort of gave
she
her.
She says, "You be you. Stay yourself." You.
Yeah, and then she said to Jonathan, "Like, I wasn't coming for you.
Yeah.
So that was all you're thinking."
And then she said, "But you're always coming for me."
Yeah.
Lindsay, I hope you win. I think is what she
yeah,
said.
Yeah, yeah. She gave Lindsay a rolling endorsement.
And she said, "You know, and you know why." I wonder why.
Oh, now, and said, I think people are saying in her, you know, exit interviews, she's saying it's 100% strategy. So okay. She's still playing the game, I guess. What does that mean? I assume she is trying to, in words, she is saying, trying to steer where ultimately the game is going to continue to go. Who she wants to win.
Okay, fair.
If I don't know, maybe, you know, so like some, saying, if so she doesn't want Mike to win, then you probably say, "Oh, Mike's gonna win this game, everybody." I mean, right?
Wow, you can't do that. I mean, she's so intense. She's still playing the game after she's done playing the game. I get it, but still, you have a vote on the jury. That's not right. It's like playing poker. You fold your hand. You say, "Oh, I was going for the nine, and I had a pair of nines in my hand." You're telling everybody else what you had.
Hmm.
That's table talk.
Okay.
In poker, and that's tribal talk. That's circle
right. You're
talk,
basically
whatever.
Saying you have to wait until that entire poker game is over to then say,
"Yeah,
oh man, I had."
She can't influence the game after she's been snuffed.
Yeah.
Listen, it was fun. It was a fun. I think it was like the Celtics Bucks series. Damn, it was intense.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, you know, they're all buddy buddy.
Yeah, yeah. It was fun. And like even Probst pointing it out, he's like, "Wow. You guys are pretty cutthroat, but then the camaraderie here is pretty amazing. I can't remember really seeing it like this."
Yeah. And
that part's cool.
They left all that in. They left all of her comments in, which obviously they didn't have to. But.
Yeah, and that's a great point. How many times does this actually happen and they just edit it all out? How many times does somebody get up and say, "Tass is a snake, JD's going to win this game, F you, I ate all the rice,
I ate the peanut butter or something.
Yeah, yeah. just cut it out."
Yeah, that'd be great. But Tasya, don't forget that all of these people on the jury, they're living together on a swanky resort. They're all still playing the game. They're all lobbying for their alliances and their people. So, I mean, that's just the beginning. Like, I haven't watched her Ponderosa. I haven't watched any Ponderosa yet this year, but I'm sure she gets there and they're like, they're filling in who did what, when, and I was promised this and you were promised that. And they're all comparing notes and comparing stories.
So really all that stuff doesn't matter. It doesn't sway anybody
one
way or another when it's done for half a second at tribal when they talk about it for days and days at Ponderosa.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Probably, yeah. I would be talking with High for days and days at Ponderosa about Monty Python theory. Because in the moment, he was calling it.
Yeah, it was almost like he had seen Survivor 41. It was like, you guys got the tapes in there or something?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, he looks great. He's obviously pampered. Is that the word you used? For Ponderosa?
Pampered?
Or swanky you used?
That swanky, but compared to how they've been living, it's pretty it's pretty nice. But yeah,
he cleans up nice.
He was like, woo.
So the other notes I have from this episode, really with Lindsay, I think an important part to remember is that amulet that she has, she's the last one left. Aegon, Dragon, that is now an idol. And I believe... You can fact check me in the live tribe. I believe she has to play this idol at the final six, which is the next vote.
Oh, wow.
Whereas Marianne's idol, I think, can be played till the final five.
Right.
I think that is a difference. And I believe the extra vote that Marianne still has, I think I have that right, has to also be played at the final six.
Right.
So next week, we should see Lindsay, no brainer, playing her idol. So she's through to the final five. If it's the last time you can play, maybe she wins immunity and give it to somebody. And then that extra vote could be played by Marianne too. It has to be played, I guess, or it's nullified. It's done. But Marianne's idol can go through the final five. Just so everybody has that. I think.
Right.
I think I have that right. Which is crazy. I mean, Lindsay is through to the final five.
That's great.
She looks like she's going to be, at the very least, probably in a fire-making contest. And a lot of people are saying it's going to be against Jonathan. They've set us up all season long.
Yeah.
Jonathan versus Lindsay. Jonathan versus Lindsay. Jonathan versus Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
Who can make fire?
Yeah, because you don't want both those people at the end. Right? It's too similar a story.
Well, they don't seem to want I mean, well, Lindsay definitely doesn't want Jonathan at the end. I don't know about Jonathan wanting Lindsay. I don't think.
Why wouldn't Lindsay want Jonathan? I think she could beat him.
Keeps telling us she wants him gone.
I know, but it's
her game has her resume has been built these last couple of weeks.
It has,
for sure.
It has, and I think she really has a lot of fans on that jury right now. And if she can pull off a big move or two still here, or a big win even, maybe she's the one that ultimately takes Jonathan out of like a challenge.
Well, Jonathan's not getting any respect. He says he said out there.
Yeah.
He said, "I want to be the provider, and I don't want to be noticed. I want to go unseen. But I want some thank yous.
I would like some Jonathan. Food, too.
I'm dying.
This guy, I mean, he's starting to lose it from just pure hunger, I think.
I mean, you know, it's so petulant. Like, a thank you would be nice. I mean, he didn't say it to them, but it's like, have you ever watched a show, Jonathan? I mean, your provider role is good for pre-merge, well before pre-merge. People don't care about the providers anymore, I don't think.
Okay, what did you think about when he does get into a little tiff there with Drea about the net? I almost felt bad for him in that instance, because like the guy has appeared to have done everything when it comes to like
agreed
surviving, you know, at least getting food and doing all that, and all he's asking him to do is just, can you just get the net untangled?
Correct.
Can everybody standing here? And somebody else, can I just sit here for a second? And then he gets called out for not helping. I was like, wow. I mean, that was a little much.
I mean, Mike says on the beach, the first time I saw this was 15 days ago. Okay, so you've had this net for 15 days, and now you're getting Jonathan to show you how to untangle it? I mean, come on, guys. You know, Jonathan is being snippy. He's hangry.
Yes.
He's lost a lot of weight, as they all have. And I understand Drea's point of view as well. Like, hey, Jonathan, we're all starving out here. But, you know, like, it wouldn't kill you to be, you know, pleasant. And then he's saying it wouldn't kill you to say thank you. I've done everything. He says he's the one getting up and making the fire every day. And he's obviously provided for this tribe.
Yeah.
So I can... I've been Jonathan before with my kids. It's like, how many goddamn times do I have to show you how to do this thing that it's been here all this time? Like, and now you want, I'm hungover, kids, you know, or whatever.
Yeah,
but so I felt Jonathan in that moment there.
And it wasn't even truly that big a blow up.
No.
It was just a little line from each of them, really.
Right.
They're just frustrated and you're tired of living with each other out there. And
true.
Yeah.
And I will point out that by the end of the scene, it's Jonathan with the net untangling it.
Of course it is.
Like he ends up doing it. So, you know, I feel like he had a right to be annoyed, but I also see Drea's point of view. And it's just, you know, hunger is a big factor in this game.
Especially for him. If he says he always reminds us he's eating the exact same amount of food that everybody else is, and he should be eating four times the amount that Romeo should be eating, but he's the one sneaking all these extra bites on the pot.
Can't wait to go watch the deleted scene of Romeo eating more.
I did watch it. They catch, well, apparently the net works because they have a ton of sardines, like a pot of them.
Ooh.
And they're like debating how they should cook them. It looks like they boil them first and then they're trying them, and they're like, at first they're like, it doesn't taste all that good, maybe we should fry them up. But Jonathan is so hungry, he's like, hold on, let me just see what it tastes like. And then he's like, it's fine, I'll eat them like this. So there's just another food scene.
What kind of oil are they frying them up in? They don't have any oil. Coconut oil, they're squeezing the oil, just water.
Well, I have no idea. That's a good question.
Because I think they're boiling them. Just eat them.
Yeah.
I mean, how much tastier are you going to get?
Yeah, maybe just a little crispiness, I think.
Okay.
A little texture, but...
Anyways, I guess the fight was worth it, which wasn't much of a fight, as you said. It was like a current-day NBA fight.
Yeah.
You know, that's right. Not much.
No, not at all. Also, back to the toenails falling off.
Mm-hmm.
what a fascinating scene that was. Because they were, like, talking about something else. And then is it Marianne that points it out right away, or is it Mike that points it out? I can't remember how that went, but...
Yeah, I think...
Does Marianne just, like, literally just say, oh, my toenail fell off?
Oh, there goes my toenail. And then Mike goes, I was watching it flapping around there, and it just flew off. And then there's a shot of her feet, and I was like, I see all of her toenails there. Maybe there was a, maybe I was not seeing.
I think it was the baby toenail.
Yeah, but there's still a little nub there. Maybe it was just a hole. Who knows? But it was gross. It was definitely gross. And three times a year losing your toenail. I mean, that's.
No, I'm Team Marianne on this one.
That
I couldn't believe how like baffled they were. Go run a marathon. Go play basketball. I'm losing my toenails all the time.
Is she a runner?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe she's doing training out there on the beach. three times a year, that's a lot, I'll admit. But I've lost my toenail multiple times. The big one, too. That one sucks.
That one sucks.
Usually from basketball, if I'm being honest. But
shoes are too falls tight. Off. That, it doesn't fall off. It's because of injury.
Well,
is it peeling back?
Well, mine usually just gets smashed from basketball,
yeah.
Or I guess from running. It's a pretty common thing, just like the impact, right?
Yeah.
That it just dies basically, and then it's like just a dead nail, and eventually it will fall off. You can rip it off. It'll fall off. You guys enjoying this out there? And then a new one comes in. Yeah. And then usually what happens if you leave it is the new one starts coming in underneath the dead one and. Right. Pushes it off. I don't know about Marianne's case, though.
Yep. So it flew off. Can they make it a prize or something?
Make it an immunity item?
Yeah.
If you get enough toenails, it would look like a nice necklace.
Sure, the Marianne.
Yeah.
One of them, at least. I don't
Maybe.
Know.
So there was that really weird scene. And then, we sort of snuck it in there, but Romeo and his little nibbling there of the extra rice, I guess.
So many shots of him eating, like, with no one else around. Why is there so much rice in the pot?
That's what I can't figure out. Why are they eating it all in the sitting?
Unless they just cooked it all up or cooked whatever they had left and they decided we're going to eat the rest of this later kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess someone said that it was the crispy rice from the bottom, like the caked on.
That's the best rice.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess when it was portioned out to everybody, you couldn't. The tool probably couldn't get all the crispy rice, and it was just sticking on the pot, so he went back.
It looked like big, fluffy rice to me, the way he was pulling it, but what do I know?
Okay, well, he's getting his extra rice. Jonathan would really like it. Jonathan, back to him, he's just like, he's such a different guy, too, in confessionals to then actually playing the game. He seems to, like, he sort of says all the right things in confessional, and he's very self-aware, of course, like, obviously... his size and his standing in the game and what he brings to the island and all that, what he's bad at. He knows he sucks at puzzles and all that. But then he says the right thing a lot of times and then just goes and does the opposite.
Yeah.
It's like he just botches it when he's actually playing. It's weird.
I think he's a bit of a temper boy.
You think he's a temper boy? You want to get him a t-shirt?
I think we should send him a t-shirt for
sure. Do that? I don't know if we make t-shirts large enough to fit. What size is he?
Probably an XL.
You think he's only an XL?
Yeah, he'd look good. It would be tight on him. He'd look good on him.
He'd be ripping out of it.
Yeah. What do we got? Double XL?
Yeah, we could do
a double XL. We'll send Jonathan.
He likes things baggy. His clothing is fairly baggy when you think about it.
Yeah. Well, he would just cut the sleeves off of it, like all the way down to singlet or whatever they call it. That's fine, though, as long as he keeps the temper boy on there.
Okay, we'll get him one. Any other notes, guys, from the episode? I know we have tree mail still to get to, some great questions, but...
I have one minor note, and it's an actual note for the editors.
Okay.
Great episode, as usual, but I did not like Mike stepping on his own bit. You know what I'm talking about?
Go on.
He's with the group, the top five there, when they're fist bumping.
Pretty early in the episode. They have a nice little pact. I think Romeo and Marianne are on the sort of outs, and it's the five remaining people.
So the five of them are there, and they're complaining about Romeo, and he's got bits about Romeo. He's like, his best move is doing this.
And
he's just talking about that, and then they cut to his confessional, and we hear him say the exact same line again.
It's true.
I mean, it's a great bit.
It's true.
And it was not necessary, because he had the next bit was... The Romeo, where Romeo, I know where thou art, next to the rice pot or whatever he says. So there was like some solid bits in there, but there was that redundant part, and it just was like, why? Why did you didn't have to, like, it was you had two separate solid bits going.
Yeah.
And we didn't need to see him repeat it, because then it was like, kind of took the luster off of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm. I think you're right.
But
maybe they're planting a seed that Mike is overplaying his game.
Mm.
Maybe he's playing too hard. He's doing too much. Because he is overplaying, I feel like, a little bit.
Well, yeah, they're definitely telling us he was feeling pretty damn high, pun intended, with high going home.
Yeah.
Like, he's now high.
Now he's trying to take everybody
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's trying to take out each one of his enemies.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're saying that he's a great actor, JD.
Yeah, you're really convinced he's going to be a leading man.
I'm surviving here. You know?
He can probably deliver that. I see that.
A leading man? No, not a leading man, but anyway.
Good supporting actor.
I'm going to miss Drea.
Yes, Same. Yes. Okay, yeah. Let's put a bow on her.
She's so good.
Yeah.
We have a question in Tremel about returning players from this cast.
Yes,
she'd be high on the list.
I think so, because her character is so great. You know, I was wondering if she was losing it a little bit with all of her testimonials.
Maniacal laughing.
The maniacal laughing. But there's even noises about Romeo. She said, "I hate Romeo. Bah! Oh, I hate him." She just hates him, I guess, right? Or is she losing it, or that's just her personality?
I don't think she hates him because she was with him from the beginning, right? And she said that. I feel bad being so annoyed by him. You know. But I think you're right. I think we haven't really scratched the surface of Drea. Like, I think that there's so much more to her in this, you know, including the intense, you know, observational player who is very passionate. But I think there's a whole sense of humor side to her that I would love
too.
To see.
I think she's actually quite silly, and I think it was just all edited out because they wanted to take her in a certain direction.
Yeah.
How about, you just reminded me, a tiny scene from this episode where she's screaming at, was it Mike and Marianne? Who was it at the water well? And she's screaming about getting her water back. It was weird.
It was weird, but also, like, you know, acknowledging that we know you're strategizing up there.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bring me my water.
Yeah,
I'm thirsty.
Funny. Very funny.
Yeah, that's why I thought she was sort of worried about being on the bottom. To me, at those comments, she was a little paranoid about it.
Yeah.
She's ridiculously intense. She's got those eyes. She's got the Bobby Portis eyes.
Yeah.
You know, she's always focused, always ready.
It's true.
But she's a well-rounded player. Yeah, I'm looking forward to what you guys think are the returning players from this cast, because I started the season thinking there wasn't a lot of personalities, but the edit has done a good job, I think, and you got great personalities, I think.
And it feels like still a bit of a wide open game here with six people left. I think, and we will, you can make a case for maybe not everybody having a chance to win, but quite a bit of them still here.
I think everybody but Romeo could win.
Okay.
Honestly.
Well, let's take a break. We'll dissect that after the break, and we'll get to Tremel and answer a few of your questions. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back in the Classic Factory, no buffs. Just talked about episode 11 of Survivor 42. But you guys sent in some great questions, so let's get to Tremel. Yes, you can tweet these in at NoDungsInc. You can leave them in the YouTube comments. You can drop them live right now in the live tribe. Thanks again to everybody joining us live on YouTube. First one, Doug. Doug's on one hell of a run getting a question in the show. He has some great ones, or has some funny comments. This one, back to the Monty Hall problem, aka the Monty Python problem to me. The Monty Hall problem has backfired twice, writes Doug. What game show should Survivor incorporate instead? My pick, Price is Right, where a player has to correctly guess something while the jury shouts potential answers at them. Again, that's from Doug G. So I guess in theory, Probst would pick up the ship wheel in front of him,
right,
and he would say, "How much? What do you think this is going for on the Survivor eBay auction right now, or something?" Right. And then you have Tori and Roxroy yelling, $10, $11." Okay, so that's Doug's idea. But does anyone else have another game show you could incorporate into Survivor? Get rid of the Monty Hall problem, the Let's Make a Deal problem.
Really. They used to do trivia,
they did
about each other.
Yeah,
which I always kind of liked because it really gave an insight as to who actually you were making connections with.
True. And how much you even listen.
Exactly.
And take in.
Yeah. But if they put it in the form of Jeopardy, where you had to answer in a form of a question and there were like categories and stuff, just a tip of the hat to old Trebek there.
So there's like a Jonathan category, and it's like, how many calories does this man burn a day or something?
That's
like
right,
that.
Doing nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. What is 2,000, Alex?
You
have to call Mr. Jeff Alex.
Yes, that's right.
Jonathan burns 2,000 calories a day doing nothing. Not buying it, sir.
Why not?
No?
Doing nothing? That's not how the body works. Right. I mean, I know he's losing weight out there. Still looks jacked, though, to me.
Yeah, I think his definition of doing nothing is different than most people's definition of doing nothing.
Well, I mean, your body burns calories. Yeah. It's 2,000. Breathing.
2,000 is a lot.
That's
he's awesome. A big guy. What is he, 6'6 or something? The guy's a superhero.
Anyway, he just wanted to do nothing. In that last episode, he wanted to lay on that bamboo, and they just pulled him out into the fish. Just got on that reel and reeled him into the water. He just wanted to sit there.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate for him.
He's tired.
But I will say, back to Doug's email, I know he's a great emailer. Has this do or die backfired twice?
Well, I mean, yeah, what does backfire mean? It's worked in the sense nobody's had to go home because of it.
Right.
And it's created a lot of drama.
Yeah.
It's been good television.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe it's peaked and it's done and it's going to fizzle out. Maybe it had a short shelf life with two.
Yeah.
I don't think it's... I think the shillelagh of time breaking the glass has been far worse. One of two,
yeah,
I think.
This one's better, at least, again, because the contestant or the castaway has the decision to avoid it or not, the risk of the do or die. Yes.
I just think the
next season, they're going to have, like... These players are so smart. Like, they're going to have cracked it, like we talked about. Like, all right, so guys, we just all won't go in or something, whatever it is. Now, I know they can't do that because they do it with the whole rocks, and that's the whole point of like, all right, purple rock or gray rock, because then we can't all look at each other and say, are we doing this?
Right.
But I don't know. It's like, I just don't think you can do it for season 43. You can bring it back in, 10 seasons maybe.
Mm.
But I don't even know if I want, like, if either of these two people, Deshaun last year or Lindsay goes home from just straight up, let's call it a dumb game,
mm-hmm.
that sucks.
It's brutal.
That's not Survivor.
Exactly.
So I
would agree with Tass that it's not exactly a dud because it was high drama.
It is.
And no one ended up going home because, again, it would have been awful.
Yeah.
To see both Deshaun or Lindsay go out that way.
Could you imagine Jonathan loses to Lindsay and Jonathan plays do or die and goes home? You know, the uproar from Survivor fans.
God.
Especially like whatever casual fans, people love Jonathan, of course. I mean, you know, I'm sure a lot of moms watching at home are loving Jonathan. You imagine he goes home because of do or die. What?
The moms revolt.
People go crazy. Yeah, I think they would.
There's soccer moms out there and there's Survivor moms out there.
Yeah. I think
that was great, JD. That was that game, that Jeopardy game.
You like that?
That's good.
Oh yeah, back to your whole thing when they used to do trivia. I'm with you. I used to love that.
Yeah.
Because it did show you just who was really good at the game, the social part of the game, and how much information they could take in, and like having like real connections with people and stuff like that. But again, is that just like, I don't know if it works in today's game. I think they're all such good players that they're all aware of that.
Yeah.
So they're, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
I agree.
Yeah.
But it was fun to be like, how many brothers does Tass have? And you're like, oh crap. Or what is Tass's brother's name? Or whatever. You're like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're like,
Tough question.
Yeah, yeah. Gee, I'm not even sure I know your brother's name. I've known you 20 years.
So you really got to keep. You really got to keep switching these games up.
Yeah,
yeah.
I guess that's how it goes.
They should bring back the food auction, especially in this no food era of Survivor, just because there's so much more at stake. And Taz, if you've never seen this,
never.
They literally give each contestant $100
$500
$500 which they could keep actually if they so chose. And then he would bring out, all right, here's a steak dinner. And then they would all bid on it.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it would be like, all right, I'm not going to open this one. And you can just blind bid on it. And then it would be a maggot infested, you know, grub worm or something. Yeah. And then you're like, wah, wah.
But then didn't players start breaking that game too by like pooling money together and stuff like that? And then sharing things.
Because inevitably an advantage would come.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
Like this is an advantage in the game. So,
but that was different. You're right.
But
like
I
lack
liked
of food
it.
Now.
Yeah.
I mean, cold beer and pizza? I mean, how much are you putting down? There were people I remember, too, back in the day. They're like, no, I'm just going to keep the $500.
Yeah.
Just go home.
That's ridiculous.
Right? You're in a game for $1 million and you're just going to walk out. You know what? I'm good.
I'm not winning this thing.
Keep your donuts.
Keep $500.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, next one here from Zachary, who's also on a hell of a run. How many of these contestants do you think we see again? Zachary says, I think we see Jonathan, Drea, Mike, and Marianne, they're locks, according to Zach. As is Omer, if he doesn't win, as returning winners appear to have a different standard. That's probably true. I also think Lydia and Hai have a decent chance. So JD, what do you think of his picks? And is there anyone he's really forgetting that you think is absolutely going to play this game again?
Remind me of the names.
Jonathan?
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer. I mean,
I think so.
He basically named everybody.
Drea.
He named a lot.
Well, it's true. Drea.
Sorry, Zach.
You like Drea coming back? You like chances?
Of course, yeah.
Mike? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I actually don't. And I really like him, but I don't think so. Marianne. She's young.
Yeah.
I mean,
gotta see how those toenails develop over the years.
See how many toenails she's lost since the last time she was on. See what the necklace looks like now that she has built for herself. And then Omer, depending on...
Whether
he wins
or not.
Which you think he is winning.
Regardless of whether he wins, I don't know that he can come back because he has just been such an under-the-radar social player. I think that he would be a first boot, like a no-brainer, even at this point. Just a completely untrustworthy guy. You know what I mean?
Well, but that's, I mean, he could come into the game as untrustworthy, but... His skill is getting people to still trust him. So who's to say he could pull it off?
If he could pull that off, he would be the GOAT, I think.
Wow. Jesus. Yeah. Okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I know. You know what? National pride is talking here. So
you really want a Canadian to win.
I really want him to win. Yeah. And Marianne, I'm intrigued by her coming back too because
she's coming back.
You know, she is incredibly bright, incredibly... she knows the game very, very well. She's incredibly well-spoken, but she's also incredibly immature, which is why I think it's a bit of a strike against her. Like, she does come off as childish sometimes.
Yeah, but doesn't Survivor love to see the player change, adapt,
exactly.
grow?
Exactly. Yeah. So 3-5 years down the road and have her come back and just a more mature Marianne, I'd love to see that.
Yeah. And she obviously has such a joy for the game that I think props and producers love that too.
Yeah.
She could win this game.
Yeah. And the only other name I'd throw out there, I mean, I'll be honest, I would love to see any of these people come back, but Swathi, I think we never really got to know very well. And I think she was just starting to come out of her shell. And we saw some growth there too, but I think her journey could have been a lot more interesting if she had lasted just a couple more votes, you know? But anyway, yeah, that's what I think.
Okay. Cassie? Do you have at least one or two that you really want to see play again?
Well, I hope Marianne has a good last couple episodes.
She is set up pretty damn nicely right now. She has the idol, as we talked about. Mm-hmm. She still has an extra vote, which I think she has to play next week. You know, she's not really seen as a target. I mean, everybody seems to want to sort of sit with her, I think.
Is she respected?
That's the thing.
Yeah. It's so hard to tell.
I have become more convinced over the last 2 weeks. I love that she's not telling anyone about this idol she found. She hasn't yet.
No one knows.
Nobody knows. Mm.
That's right.
And that would be one hell of a bomb to drop, like, especially if she's the target, let's say, at five or whatever, and then she's like, nope, I got an idol. People, they would react to that, like, whoa, this girl, a woman that we, like, really can't keep her mouth shut half the time,
yeah,
is, like, you know, she's just a chatty mouth. Mm-hmm. Wow, she kept that secret?
Yeah.
And holy crap, that means she found two idols? She already played one just in solidarity with yep. Drea? I'm starting to be convinced she could actually win the game, get the jury votes. I am a little bit more than I was, for sure.
Yeah, if she's who's she sitting next to win? I guess that's really the question.
Everybody wants Romeo sitting there.
Yeah,
everybody,
100%.
So can she beat Lindsay?
I don't think so.
Could she beat Jonathan? I think
yes,
so.
Yes, I think so.
Could she beat Mike?
No, I don't think so.
This, you don't understand.
Mike is so high on people's lists.
They love him. They love him.
He's a respected individual. I get that.
He's always telling everybody he loves them. Yeah. You notice how many times he tells somebody I love you?
Yeah.
He does a good job
of that.
He even said that he would love Romeo if he wasn't playing the game out in the street. He would.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the guy, but he just gets under my skin because he's constantly eating. Skinniest guy on the tribe.
That's how you win Survivor. You just tell people you like everybody.
No, it's part of it, though. It's part of, you know, if you have a real bond, like, yeah, he's the guy that's like, well, you and I are friends for life. Whatever happens in this game, you and me, we're I'm always going to be friends with this person. Yeah. He's actually said that about people on the show,
yeah,
in confessional. So
does that count?
It is believable.
It is believable. Yeah. That counts as his social game.
Yeah, for sure.
If I'm on a jury and I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to, who do I want to have the $1 million? My friend for life, Mike.
The guy that might buy dinner when I'm out with him, for sure.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. This cast does not strike me as a cast that holds vendettas about
gonna be
big
bitter.
Moves.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't, there's been some blindsides, but nothing crazy. No real, you know, the biggest one actually was Mike basically giving his word to Drea that we're, hey, final five, right? And then immediately, you know, flipping, which is very out of character for him so far.
Yeah.
And she was fine. She was like, you got me. They were both like buddy-buddy. Yeah. And yeah, kiss of death, sure. She's playing the game, whatever. But I don't know. I think he's this hugely popular guy.
Okay. Mm. And then can Marianne beat Omer? If it was Romeo, Marianne, and Omer, two Canadians... And the pageant, what's the director?
He's a pageant coach, I believe. Yeah. Oh, I don't know about that.
That one's tough. I think she has to do one big thing here.
Something
leading into the final.
Yeah.
Like one big, you know, maybe it involves fire making. Maybe it involves giving, maybe an immunity win and then giving a necklace or using that extra vote correctly. I think if she can pull off one big monster move to get either Omer out, maybe Mike.
Yeah.
Or, you know, to some extent or less extent, maybe Jonathan. But like, she could do this. I think she could win this game. I'm become convinced. I think Omer number one, but she's creeping up my board.
Yeah. It's hard to come up with an argument against it. Other than she rubs people the wrong way sometimes. Like,
right.
She's a lot. She's a lot to be with all of the time. But and also her immaturity would come into it as well, right? Do I want to give, if it's her and Mike and somebody and Romeo at the end, do I want to give the older firefighter or do I want to give the child $1 million? And not to be that harsh, but that's sort of how she comes off sometimes is just super immature.
Yeah.
You know, it's as simple as that. Like,
yeah.
You know.
See.
And we'll get to next week's show.
Yeah.
And she says she's got something to do.
Yeah.
She's got something
she
says, to
say. She is aware that she thinks people are seeing her as a goat.
Yeah.
And she's got something to say about that. You're right.
She ain't a goat.
Yeah.
Well, and again, you don't cry when you're not the goat. You know what I mean? Like, she's upset and fine. She's upset, but she's just like, it's an immature thing to do. Like in her confessional, be like, you know, I'm not a goat. I'm not a goat. It's like, all right, show us you're not a goat. You know,
she might.
Maybe. I hope she does. I hope she does.
Well, the Goat Train Alliance. I mean,
whew, can you imagine
still chugging along?
Ugh, If it's those two plus Romeo at the end, what? Like, flags are coming out. Ah. I have my Omar shirt ready.
You got the emu shirt.
I got the emu shirt.
Oh, my goodness. So you're going to save it till the finale?
Well, or when he gets voted out.
Okay. Okay. Well, here's an email. This was an email. The other two were from Twitter. But Kendra wrote in, when Omar wins this thing, are we going to get an on-screen moment where he says, I'm so proud to be the first Canadian winner, and then Jeff Probst has to set him straight?
Mm.
Fascinating. Omar doesn't win that. Erica won. Season 41. He has no idea, and this is not going to be a live finale.
Right.
So this will be like we did last year. So it's like canned. It's recorded already. Be fascinating. Will Probst mention it? Will Probst say that's two Canadians back to back? If Marianne or Omar wins?
No, they haven't mentioned it yet.
I know.
There was one
it's crazy
when Drea. Was Drea getting voted out was the first time we've heard the word Canada so far. When Mike said something like, I'm going to come to Canada because she lives in Montreal.
I'm still going to visit you in Canada, even though you backstab me.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was very funny. It's only across the border from Hoboken.
But they haven't mentioned that Marianne's Canadian, and they haven't mentioned that Omar's Canadian because they don't want us to know.
And I think they've done for a majority of the season. It was there at the beginning. It's starting to come back as we look ahead to next week's penultimate episode. But like the Taku 4, man.
Yeah,
I think this is like such a bigger deal than the than we're seeing because the editors in their mind are like, well, Jesus, they're all gonna get there.
Right.
You know, like, who knows? Like, I don't know. I'm convinced it's a very strong alliance because they're all loving the idea of, like, for the most part, sitting with each other. They see, like, a path to victory.
Right.
Be it Jonathan, be it Lindsay, Omar, or Marianne. The Romeo is the real the real wrinkle to it all.
Right.
Because
you want
everybody wants Romeo. Him. Yeah. But maybe not. Maybe the pack that four is so strong that next week if it's not Mike and there's a chance or whatever, like maybe they're just like, hey, we made it this far, let's take Romeo out and then it's down. We're four of us are in the final five. I don't know. It's possible.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm starting to think this is where Marianne sees the like, yeah, I'll agree to this and then let's screw
break up the,
it doesn't seem to me like anyone's loyal to anyone.
No, you're probably right. At this point when you get down to these numbers. Like, even Mike is a great point. I mean, he's straight up lying now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's overplaying his hand, I think, from my, you know, novice perspective. But Omar's, the juxtaposition between what people think on the island of Omar, that they trust him, they all trust him. And then, you know, from our perspective, how we all know you can't trust the guy. Even reading High's exit interview where he was stabbed in the back by Omar with the biggest fib of the season.
Oh, yeah, he didn't, yeah.
He told Mike that, yeah, High said he is playing you like a puppet,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I mean, that was great. I think that's great. I think that's just so phenomenal how different we see him and the players see him. He's kicking ass, Seabass, for sure.
All right, final one here. Listen, this is fascinating. From our guy, Gourmet Spud.
Spud.
From up in Toronto. Big Survivor fan. We love it. Okay. Gourmet Spud in two tweets wrote this. Funny guy. Jonathan is clearly shaving his chest out there, right?
I thought the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, hold
I was
on.
Like, how
hold
is
on.
It possible? Anyway, go ahead.
Survivor seems to have a distinct island hair policy. Yes to women shaving their legs and armpits. No to men shaving their face. Also, absolutely no haircuts. But chest shaving may have been a great area till now. Do you think Jeff and the producers had to have a special meeting to discuss the pros and cons of letting him do it and whether it violated the island hair rules? I don't recall seeing such an obvious chest shave situation before. Gourmet Spud. Okay, so you've thought about this.
I thought it last week because he's looking so shredded now. Like, he's lost all that body fat. And it's just like, man, this guy's got no hair on his chest. Is he shaving his chest out there? But I think this is the Air Bud thing. Ain't nothing in the rules that says you can't have a dog play basketball or shave your chest on Survivor. It's just not in the rule book. So have at it, Jonathan.
So they're given a razor to do it?
Yeah.
He's obviously not sharpening up a piece of bamboo.
They have toiletries, right? Like they definitely
have toothpaste.
Well, they don't have toothbrushes because they're always picking their teeth.
That's true. They have sunscreen. We know that.
They do, yeah. Definitely sunscreen.
You think they're given... I had never even thought about this Gourmet Spud theory about distinct island hair policy. And like, we've seen women not shave their legs and armpits. Like,
But I think they're also allowed to.
Wow. Holy. I never thought of
that. It's a TV show, man.
I guess. I had never thought about this until now. And he must be right.
Unless he's completely hairless on his chest, which is unlikely.
Well, can't you permanently take it off?
Oh, that's true.
He may have done that.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe waxed before.
Or laser. It's only 29 laser days. Or whatever. Yeah.
I thought there was some stubble there. No?
Where? On his chest?
On Jonathan. Yeah. Oh, I didn't notice.
Huh.
I only thought that because I read this email and I thought, wow, it is pretty clean shaven. I just immediately thought of, those men out there that, do it from time to time.
Yeah.
It's like it's you can see some stubble.
Okay. Well, we're not so sure then.
I can definitely see the producers having a conversation.
I think the conversation goes, let him shave his chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a great look.
Think of the moms.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's see his think of everyone. Let's see his chest.
Have we seen Mike? We've seen Mike topless.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not shaving his chest, right?
Well, I can't picture that. I'm always looking at Jonathan's chest, I guess.
Listen, Mike looks great for however old he is.
He's 59, I think.
Wow.
He's
57, 59. He's
great shape.
He's older than me, I know that.
I think he has abs pre-shred, like pre-survivor shred.
Yes.
No,
he looks great. He looks great. I mean, he's a firefighter, I guess. Yeah, so the producers are sitting around and saying, does Jonathan come and say, hey, can I shave my chest?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe
they just say, hey, here's a razor.
Yes.
You know what to do.
This is not a Manscaped ad read, by the way. Sarah's saying in the live tribe, maybe he's gotten his chest waxed so much that the hair doesn't grow back anymore.
Oh, that's
a
good
strong
point.
Possibility.
Yeah, yeah.
And then other people, Ziggy's saying 3 weeks isn't a ton of time.
You're right.
It may not show up that much.
That guy's
like raging with testosterone, man. Like, I would think a little bit of hair would be there by now. And this is coming from somebody that has very little hair chest. But hey, we can put it to the test.
Very little hair chest. I just got
a hair chest upstairs. You can borrow some if you want.
What'd you Google?
My brain is so dead. I literally Googled Jonathan Hare. That's going to produce the results. Jesus. Jonathan Hare chest is what I now Googled. Still not coming
okay,
up.
Okay. Keep looking. You keep looking.
I could have sworn I saw stubble. It's a little like the Andre Drummond scenario.
Remember,
Andre Drummond used to have hair on his shoulders.
Yes.
And then he got that perma waxed.
Yes.
There's stubble there, baby.
I'm seeing. Gourmet spotted. Well, hold on. That's the wrong Jonathan.
That's not Jonathan.
You were looking at a Penner. Different survivor Jonathan. It wasn't Penner. It must have been an Australian survivor you were looking at. Well, you're okay. I don't think he has.
He may not have any.
I don't
any.
Think he does.
Wow.
A lot of different buds.
All right.
Out there. Mike looks great, though. Mike came up.
Oh, man. Oh, someone's saying, what does your Google look like, man?
You're right. You are. Please, The Athletic. Do not look at my web history.
People are now saying, Jonathan Hairchess, Esquire. Jonathan Hairchess, attorney at law.
That's right. It looks like there's no hair here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I never thought about this. I never thought about the women being allowed to shave their armpits.
Enhance, maybe.
I don't know. Okay. JD, any other thoughts on any of these questions here in Tremail?
No, I think
we nailed it. Sean, great point. One final thought on Jonathan's hair chest. He's a swimmer. He would have shaving down to a science.
Yep.
That's a great point about the swimming part and the shaving part. I think he's waxed it so much. I like Sarah's thing that it's been
that makes sense.
It's barely coming back, especially in 3 weeks.
Right.
Or laser removed.
Actually,
now you made me think. I did happen to drop by his Instagram account a little while ago, and he was working out.
Yeah.
And it happened to be he was lifting stones. I think the caption was something about Flintstones. He was doing chest, and he was doing flies.
Yeah.
And there was a close-up on his chest. That's why I think there's stubble out there. But
now, Instagram, daily life.
I don't know.
Okay.
Boy.
Wow.
I'm too deep.
Look what you've done, Gourmet Spud. let's take this spud and shave off the skin. Let's make fries. What? Let's take a break. When we come back, we will look ahead to next week's Survivor, and we got to really break down who's going to win this thing, okay? Mm. So don't go anywhere.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, back with No Buffs here. Start wrapping up this podcast by looking ahead to next time on Survivor.
Hey, real quick, though.
Yeah.
Here's Jonathan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looking.
I mean, looking pretty smooth in the chest.
Oh, yeah.
Area,
I mean, this is coming into the game, though. This is a promo shot.
Fine. Look at his.
Enhance?
Look at his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Next to the chest. I mean, that's obviously hair has been removed.
Yes, 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 yes. He's got a lot of hair on his face, too.
Gourmet Spud knows his chest hair. He's right. Yeah, and after taking the break here to peruse Jonathan, Young Strength is his Instagram handle.
Oh.
His last name is Young.
Yeah.
So Jonathan Young. His Instagram page, all about working out.
Yeah, and not a surprise.
It was almost soft pornography. I
gotta be honest. Wow.
It
was.
You're going to report it, are you?
This is too hot.
Okay, wow.
No chest hair, by the way, on the Instagram page as well, I think, okay. From what I'm seeing.
He's keeping it real clean on the chest.
Yeah, as a swimmer, I guess.
Yeah. Next time on Survivor, it is the penultimate episode. Penultimate. I just love saying it any chance I get because I'm convinced that only came into popularity like
TV?
4 years ago. Yeah.
Oh.
Nobody was saying it.
No, you're right.
Now everybody says it.
I agree.
For that second last episode. Yep. I love it. Okay, so Jonathan says, quote, the Taku 4 has made it to the final six, but now it's time to break up. All right. He says that in confessional. Mike tells Marianne that Omer is next. Lindsay tells Omer something is perfect. We don't really know what. And then she tells us in a confessional she wants her main nemesis gone. Who is Jonathan? All right, again, are we getting this Jonathan-Lindsay battle here once again? Is it fire-making in the finale? We'll see. And then Marianne tells Romeo some important info. Yeah, we see that little scene. That was what you were alluding to there. Is that Marianne saying, telling Romeo, I've got an idol. I've got an extra vote.
Don't do it. Don't do it, Marianne.
Oh.
She's definitely planning to make a move. I don't know if she's planning on making a move.
She's telling Romeo. I think she is going to tell him one of these things. This is what my gut says. And then she tells us in a confessional, just to wrap it up, she is a real contender in this game and is not some goat to be herded. So she is seeing that others think of her as a goat to take to the end, but she says she's going to change that. So yeah, and we already talked about her chances of winning this game. It sounded like I'm a little higher than maybe you guys on her ultimately pulling it off, but I think she needs one really nice big move here, probably in this episode coming up here in the final five.
Yeah.
And she could do it.
She needs a move. But also, you don't have to give someone something for them to be on your team. Romeo's desperate.
Right.
You don't have to tell
them. They already seem a little like, this is why I think she is telling them, because we saw at the start of this episode, those five out on the beach making their little pact.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Romeo and it wasn't Marianne.
Yeah.
They're, you know, sitting back at camp eating a little bit of rice.
Right. They're on the bottom. They know they're on the bottom and they're saying,
they're on the bottom, but I think they both realize, but everybody wants to sit there at the end.
Right.
So they don't want to get rid of us really.
Yeah.
But they don't want to include us in any plans, and they don't think we have a chance of winning this game, so we got to bond together, and I mean, that's in both their best interests. I mean, Romeo, again, I don't really think no matter what he does at this point, but her best interest for sure. Team up with him, get one more in, use that extra vote.
Mm-hmm.
Play the idol.
I just hope she's not like Drea, where she felt like she had to give something.
Oh, yeah, that's the issue.
To Omar.
Yeah.
Well, to Romeo.
Yes, in right. this instance. Well, yeah. But I mean, Drea felt like she had to tell Omar for reason. When she could have survived, unfortunately. But, yeah, I think Marianne and Lindsay, too, need to make some sort of strategic move. Because okay. Lindsay's kicking ass, challenges. She's got the social game. But I think a strategizing move could really
just
help.
Just one. Yeah, I think you need one big kill.
Right.
Right?
But what's the kill? Because she seems to be going after Jonathan. And is that the move that would put her over the edge when it comes to winning this game?
Any scheme, really, to me.
Yeah.
I think
people would look at it like, wow, you got him out. That's pretty amazing. But then again, you're right. If nobody thinks he's going to win,
right.
then is it all that crazy?
Right.
We'll see. Next week's episode is titled Caterpillar into a Butterfly. Sorry, Caterpillar to a Butterfly. Who's that?
That's Marianne. It's got to be.
Could be Romeo. Mm.
What?
It could be.
The child.
It's not Jonathan. It's not Mike.
No.
It's maybe Lindsay, but I don't even really think so. Then we're down to, it's Omer.
It's no.
Marianne or Romeo.
I mean, it could be Omer saying that Marianne has turned from a caterpillar into a butterfly because he's a vet.
Oh, it could be the quote.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. Somebody putting it on somebody.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Marianne. It's not going to be Romeo, please. The guy's given up. He's like, he's screw everybody. He's screw these people. That's his motto for this entire game. He does that.
I almost respect it at this point.
I do respect. I absolutely. He's just like, all right, whatever.
It's almost amazing. I mean, who knows what he's really thinking out there? But it's like, from what we see, it's like, wow. Why wouldn't you just quit at this point?
Right?
It's like, well, good for you. Like, you just refused to quit.
Yeah, but maybe he's like, yeah, well, screw these people. I'll be sitting at the end and let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, but you can't even convince me of any three pairing at the end that he could pull it off.
No.
You don't see anyone. It'd have to be, Jonathan would have to be there. Jonathan would have to be there so everybody just goes, okay, yeah, man, you're huge, you're awesome, but like, what, you didn't really know what was going on in the game.
Right.
You tried to make strategic moves. They backfired in your face.
Yeah.
You had Lindsay actually steering you in the right direction. Like, I'm just trying to like talk this out. Like,
mm-hmm.
They would have, people would just discredit Jonathan. Like,
sure.
And I'm not saying that will happen, but that could happen. And then, yeah, who is the other one that Romeo could out-talk, really? Or, out, you know, like...
There's nobody. Yeah. He's pissed off everybody. He's pissed off Drea, who was... You know,
I don't know,
with him from the beginning.
I don't know.
Really?
If it's a Jonathan, Romeo, Marianne pairing.
Yeah.
I go back to last year where Erica won that thing when she was not depicted throughout the entire season as strategizing whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
She was on the bottom for half the season, like right. Romeo. She definitely strategized and definitely had a great social game. I guess the difference is...
Yeah, she had a great social game.
Yeah, but we didn't know that. That's what I'm saying. At this point, we did not know that until the final, really.
Yeah, but we do know that Romeo's
doesn't.
Social
That's why
game
I stopped myself.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have the shillelagh time.
No.
And it, you know, it's been rough for our guy out there.
Yeah.
Sarah says, Romeo is a pageant coach. That quote, caterpillar to a butterfly,
sure.
You know, that's a pageantry-like quote. I could see him saying it.
About Marianne?
I think it could be one or the other. Very excited. Penultimate episode. Both of Survivor 42 and next week of No Buffs when we break it down. And then we get into the finale. Oh, my God. I just remembered. We'll have to watch. What is it? 2-hour episode, the finale. And then an hour. Well, no, they don't do that really, right? Because of COVID. So it's sort of just a 3-hour episode. Is that right?
It's a 3-hour, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. With like some sort of...
They didn't reveal the winner until well into that third hour as well. And then they had a pizza party. Remember that?
I forgot about that.
Bring in the pizza.
Oh, so do you think they'll stick with that vibe of like we see the cameras and like...
Yeah, I think so.
And then we'll be right back after this commercial break and then talk about the season. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they?
Probably right. People said wisely, we'll just leave Lee to do the no dunks on that Friday. you're all in on Survivor. TK will be back. JD, of course, myself. We'll all talk Survivor.
Yeah. We'll just have Lee go solo that morning.
Yeah, on the Thursday morning. Yeah. Okay, good idea. These are all great ideas. Okay, let's call it there. We've got way too long. Oh, my God. I can't believe how long we turned these episodes into. It's mind-boggling. But we really appreciate everybody joining us live there in the Live Tribe on YouTube. Take a second if you haven't liked the video. Subscribe to No Buffs on YouTube if you're a podcast listener. Leave us a 5-star rating and review to help other Survivor fans find the show. Only two left, but who knows what we have in store for No Buffs in the off season. Gotta watch an old season for Tass.
Maybe.
Pick one of those OG ones. Wow, we can maybe do that. But
there's a Jonathan character I want to get to know.
Oh, we could watch Survivor Australia. I mean, I haven't even watched those. Whew. There's a lot of episodes left.
Yeah. Oh. And they're long, those ones.
Oh, boy. So long.
And they're on.
Nah, I'd prefer, let's watch Elf instead.
They're probably on in the middle of the night, too.
All right. Tassie, you have the honors.
Thank you.
Blow out our sexy St. Jeff candle. Till next week. Tribe has spoken.